черту под предыдущей полученной информацией. В нашем случае мы попросим Гоэца Куроса подытожить нашу панель достаточно кратко, для того, чтобы мы могли просуммировать, какие из этих тенденций мы увидим в будущем, а какие останутся в прошлом российского цифрового рынка. Спасибо.
Yes. Well, thanks very much. I'll try and keep it brief. I understand everyone is hungry for now. What we have seen, I think, today is a general agreement that the Russian insurance market has huge potential. Looking at the macroeconomics, all the data point towards this fact. However, I think one has to agree there's a huge difference between having a potential and an ability to realize this potential. And in the little time that I have, I want to draw your attention to what I believe is quite a question mark around this realization in the near to medium term. Can you please go to slide number 2? What we have seen in the market since the crisis is a level of premium contraction. And this went directly head on with the predominant business model in the Russian market, which in most instances is based on cash flow underwriting. The idea of paying your claims from the premium that you will earn in the future, and hopefully premium rises more quickly than your claims. Now, the crisis has brought that to an abrupt end. Premium growth is negative, might even remain negative for the next year. Investment results have disappeared, and undercapitalization is in place, and there's no access really, or no easy access, or at a high price for new fresh capital. So what that triggered for most insurance companies was an immediate liquidity crisis, exposing their business model, in fact. And particularly the small and regional insurers are very much in this crisis right now. However, insurers didn't really react until after New Year, Russian New Year, when people actually started to look in their business plan and still found 20% growth. That's what we have been budgeting for. The immediate reaction back then was then to adopt the term anti-crisis measures that was well established from the banking sector and also by the government. And many of those measures were taken in an unbalanced way to a point where some companies basically removed all their capability to act strategically. So we were left with measures that didn't allow them to compete on anything else but price and commissions. And since everyone went into those measures, it didn't even differentiate them strategically or give them a strategic advantage. So what has then set in was a cycle of what I'd call destructive competitive behaviors, acting and pricing aggressively, dumping prices, aggressively raising commissions just to stay liquid, at least for some time. Now, you wouldn't be too worried about this scenario if it's only, you know, the small companies that together have no more than 10% of the total market. However, for different reasons, larger players enter this game as well. And that makes perfect sense if you are a holder of a large industrial conglomerate and you can't find money from the banks and you desperately need money. There is, of course, an option to borrow some money from the insurance company, and you can do this in the short term, condition you can return it at a later time. Others had contracts with buyers that incentivized growth, and since those contracts were about to trigger, they kept the growth going by being aggressive on commissions. So the overall result of that, and that's what we're seeing right now, is that next to the contraction in volume, there's a contraction in margins, and whole business lines are in danger of becoming entirely unprofitable. A good example would be Casco, where in addition to all of that, the claims costs are being linked to foreign currency, which increased the claims costs massively with the fall of the ruble. So What we're looking at right now is the danger that the Russian market goes into what we would call an L-shaped contraction. And the question is, what can be done or what should be done to help it emerge from that rather quicker than waiting for 1 or 2, 3 years for the whole economy to rebound? Can I have the next slide, please? And when you look at that, it's not just the insurers who need to act. You have to look at the whole value chain and all the stakeholders involved in it. And I think there's been a lot of talk today already on government, regulator, legislator, that there seems to be a lack of strategy. Now, we've just spoken about the life insurance market, and what we learned is that, you know, there's a lack of incentive, but for regulators to draft regulation, there needs to be a vision about how the whole old age and provision system should work. And that takes a very long-term view. A similar picture in health insurance. There needs to be a concept about how health services should work, what type of infrastructure will be in place, who will be paying or taking what share in paying for that. Without that, it is very hard for regulators to draft regulations with a long-term view. However, there are many regulations that can be put in place. Bankruptcy law is necessary, otherwise the market will struggle to consolidate it. Transfer of book, many things that can be done right now. On the owner side, I think there needs to be an acceptance that insurance is a long-term business and that the cash flow model doesn't work in a market that will mature. And this transition out of the cash flow model would have to happen, like in any market, as it becomes more mature and the growth rates come down. Currently, the distributors seem to be taking all the value out of the Russian insurance market. Now, we will have to accept that in the end, we have to become partners willing to sell more complex products, willing to accept lower sustainable commission levels, or face disintermediation, or not participating in potentially much larger cake. And finally, it's the customer, where there need to be incentives in place and willingness to teach the customer and change the customer's mindset that insurance, in fact, is not a tax that's being forced on them by mandatory insurance by the government, but it's actually a vital element of a much more stable, secure life that adds and brings value to the whole society. Now, the question is, you know, is all of that possible? Is there a convergence of interests? And we believe yes, and that's why we believe in the long-term future of the market. The government has an interest to diversify the economy. Now, a functioning financial services market is an element of that, and an insurance market is certainly an element of a functioning financial services market. The owner shareholders of insurance companies have to understand that the value of the businesses will disappear if the market doesn't rise and if they don't change the business models. And clearly, and we've heard this today as well, the way companies are being evaluated will change, has already changed. It's no longer just the top line that remains important, but it's also the profits. And in the end, it's the profits that make the value of an enterprise. And for the consumer, we do have a vested interest in old age provision. They do have a vested interest in having access to proper medical help if they need it. And companies, and I mean industrial companies, will see a discount to the valuations if they don't start to manage the risks that they have on the balance sheet and in implementing into operations. So, and here I'm probably repeating what's been said several times today. The regulator will have a major role, to our mind, in breaking the cycle. And that is, in the first instance, to develop and communicate a strategy for the market's consolidation. Maybe through step-by-step raising of capital and solvency requirements, maybe by implementing or enforcing IFRS. That's to be discussed. There's a lot of white space that needs to be regulated for bankruptcy, runoff, and transfer of portfolio. There's a question, and we have heard this several times today, let's introduce new compulsory segments. Now, you have to be very careful in doing that because you want to do this only if there's a social economic argument for it. and frankly the survival of one or the other insurer is not an argument that is valid in this respect. OMTPL carriers might be liberalized. Bank assurance agreements, exclusive agreements might be allowed. We've seen the difference between the valuation in Turkey where one M&A deal we were involved in, the insurer didn't have a bank assurance agreement. The other had. It was just on paper, nothing operational. It was almost twice the valuation of similar enterprises. The question around tax incentives for pensions. Currently, it's not enough. Those products are still not competitive, even now with an argument that people have lost a lot in the stock market. And finally, what we believe is happening right now, there are many insurers who are technically insolvent. There are warnings being issued, but they continue to underwrite, and someone at some point will have to pick up the bill because claims are not going to be paid. So, in summary, there are a number of chronic illnesses that insurers will also have to address. The first one is to find a path moving out of the cash flow operating model. The second one is to really get in control of the finances. By that I mean beyond accounting, establishing the modern finance functions that are needed to steer your risk and your capital. Improve and professionalize the back offices, in particular underwriting and claims, but also distribution, and get serious about changing and getting control of their distributions. I do have a couple more slides which I'll not go in, but I think the main slide is the last one, slide 12, and I'll conclude with that. For an insurer, many will not have the resources to make it through all of that, to professionalize, to steer a path between maintaining liquidity and making the necessary changes. We will need partners, we'll need capital. And when you look at the way insurers are being valued, then it becomes even more imperative. Without showing the first steps in this direction, it will be very difficult to attract capital. And another lesson is the difference between an insurer at the same premium level that has sustainable operations, a sustainable book. The valuation would be much different to the same kind of insurer, the same volume, but not sustainable. And that's a message to management as well as to the owners. Thank you very much.